Well, good morning, everyone. Again, we're going to start up where we left off the other night. We're on day number 6. We just talked about similar characteristics. We talked about the red panda and the giant panda, that they had many similarities in bone structure and teeth. But when they start looking at the soft tissue, the DNA, they were not related at all. So when we take a look at similarities in creatures, similarities in different creatures is not evidence of evolution at all. We take a closer look at it scientifically. It's not because they have a common, they have similar characteristics. It's because they have a common designer with a common design. And we see that not only in creatures, but we also see it in things that man makes. You look at BMWs. You can tell a BMW when you're driving down the road because the grills all have a similarity. Why do they have similarities? Because they have a common designer. You know, cars are all similar. Tractors are all similar. Trucks are all similar. Tractors are similar to trucks, and trucks are similar to cars. Why do they have all these similarities? Because they all evolved from a Volkswagen Beetle, right? No, not at all. They all have similarities because of a common designer. We see that in things that we make. We also see it in things that God makes. So we ended up with the duck-billed platypus. I think God made this creature specially for the evolutionary theory. Because if we take a look at duck-billed platypus, it has a bill like a duck, it has a tail like a beaver, it has feet like an otter, hair like a bear, claws like a reptile, lays eggs like a turtle, and has spurs like a rooster. The question is, what is this creature evolving from, and what is this creature evolving into? Has characteristics of ducks, beavers, otters, bears, reptiles, turtles, and roosters. Now, they have studied the genome. That's the whole gene sequence of the duck-billed platypus. And the platypus genome is a mashup. Yes, they took a look at this. This creature has reptilian genes, has avian or bird genes, has mammal genes. Now, when I study the evolution of the platypus, platypuses were not supposed to evolve from birds. So why does the platypus have bird genes if they did not evolve from birds? Interesting. Well, we take a look at this. They continued on. The platypus, its genome, it looks like a car that was built on Friday. They used the parts they had left over to put it together. Yes. I think God was running out of time on day number 6, so he quickly put all these parts together and shoved it out because he had to make man. He was running out of time. Well, I was over in Hutchinson, Kansas, and this pastor had a Mustang, and he wrecked it. So he had to get spare parts. He had to get parts. He had a body shop to get parts, and the body shop told him that Ford never made this Mustang. Interesting. They had no record of this variety of Mustang being built. So he had a hard time getting parts. Somehow, they must have put it together on Friday, and they just used some spare parts. That was interesting. So, but what it looks like when we study genetics of these creatures is it looks like God, designer, has this big warehouse with all the different genes to make all the different creatures, organisms in the world, from bacteria, plants, and animals. God's going to make a platypus, so he takes some bird genes, some reptile genes, some mammal genes, probably takes some human genes and other genes and put them together, and he's got a platypus. Do you know you're a platypus? You got genes identical to zebrafish. So God took some fish genes, some yeast genes, some monkey genes, some bird genes, put it together, and there's you. Yes. That's what it looks like. It looks like just a big warehouse taking genes from all over and making creatures. It doesn't look like evolution at all. Now, we take a look at this. Before the flood, we had all these variation of creatures. And then only two of each kind, the unclean anyway, 7 pairs of the clean went on board the ark. Which means there's a lot of creatures that did not go on board the ark. A lot of variations of kinds that did not go on board the ark. Are you all with me? See, according to scripture, there are no missing links. They do not exist. Everything reproduces after their own kind. So how do you explain some of these strange creatures? Well, if you understand scripture, it's not hard at all. If these genes of these variations of dogs did not go on board the ark, what happened to those variations of dogs? They went extinct. You will not find them today. They lost that genetic information. You all with me so far? So they dig up some dogs. They look, strange dogs. We don't have them dogs today. They would assume that they're a missing link. But they are not. just a distant relative that went extinct. So they have missing links like Ida. This is supposed to be your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. She looks just like that, right? Yes. Well, it turns out she's not your great-grandmother. She's just a variation of a lemur that went extinct during the flood. We don't have those lemurs today. But those are genes of lemurs that were lost. Is that understandable? So what they find is what they find in the fossil record is not one kind of creature changing into another kind of creature. They find variations of lemurs. They find variations of monkeys. Artie is supposed to be your great-great-great-grandmother. But she's a monkey from their toes to her head. Monkey, monkey, monkey all the way. Except she's got one little bump on her hip. Humans have that same bump on her hip. Since she has that bump and we have that bump, that means this creature evolved into you. I kid you not. That is the evidence. No, it just means they have a bump on the hip, just like us. Doesn't mean they evolved into us at all. Well, it turns out that Artie is not your great-great-grandmother. She's just a variation of a monkey that went extinct probably during or shortly after the flood. You just don't see those monkeys alive today. And then we have coelacanths. They were supposed to be a missing link, half fish and half amphibian. They had all kinds of stories about the coelacanths swimming in shallow seas, walking on land with its flippers evolving into limbs, and gills were supposed to evolve into lungs and so on. But then they discovered them alive. Boy, were they embarrassed. Not everything they taught about the coelacanths, what they saw in the fossil record, was incorrect. They swam deep in ocean. Not once did they walk on their flippers and fins. And they were not evolving gills, evolving into lungs. They had gills. They were 100% strange fish. But no missing link at all. Now, Tiktaalik is supposed to be another creature that's half fish and half amphibian. Well, now they have found bones of amphibians below Tiktaalik in the fossil record. So can Tiktaalik be a missing link evolving into amphibians? Amphibians were already here? No. It turns out to be a strange fish. Has nothing to do. Probably a strange fish that went extinct during the flood. Just don't find it. And then there's the platypus. Can you imagine the platypus if we found it fossilized? We didn't have him alive today? Boy, wouldn't that throw a monkey wrench in the whole missing link thing? Yeah, interesting. It's just a strange creature. God must have had a heyday when he was creating and making creatures. He does. And then we have like, not Nebraska man, but Neanderthal man. Yes, they found a bunch of bones of Neanderthals and skulls were deformed, arm bones were bent, leg bones were twisted and so on. One scientist looked at those bones just said, look like old individuals crippled with arthritis, rickets, and other bone diseases. Another guy came along and said they couldn't all have these diseases, so he put them together in the incorrect way. Now, what are we looking at here? Any of you know what we're looking at here? Well, yeah, but I didn't say that. It's called artwork. There we go. Artwork. Artwork is imagination, not science. This is not what they found in the fossil record. This guy just standing there licking his hammer, does it? And looking kind of dumb. All they found were a pile of bones, and they were deformed. Well, they discovered now, studying these bones, they were just from old human individuals crippled with arthritis, rickets, and other bone diseases. So now they put Neanderthal man together. This is what the Neanderthal man really looked like. Yeah. Neanderthal man would go virtually unrecognized in a crowd of people. And if you keep your eyes open, you will find Neanderthals. I have seen them. Peter, you can probably relate with this. Maynard Bowen. I was teaching the first year at Camp Salvation. I was teaching my Origin of Man. And I was teaching, if you keep your eyes open, you can spot Neanderthals. Because there are humans that have sloping foreheads. I mean, they don't even have a forehead. They just slope like this, big jaws, you know, big eyebrow ridges. I've seen them all. So I was teaching that first year I was teaching at Camp Salvation. I said, you keep your eyes open and you can find Neanderthals. They're around. And the whole camper just erupted. And I said, what did I say? They said, did you look at the camp director? And I said, no. He is classical, no forehead. I don't know if you remember him. Boy, he just went like this. I mean, he just went like this. Yeah. Luckily, he wasn't in that class that day. But yeah, I had to take a look at his forehead, and he is classical. He doesn't have a forehead. I mean, they're just variations of humans. That's all the Neanderthals were. You just don't see a lot of them alive today. And if they put a Neanderthal man in a suit and tie, he would virtually go unrecognized in a crowd of people. Really would. Actually, the Neanderthal skulls were larger than modern human skulls. Their brains were also larger. I was taught, according to evolution, the bigger brain size, the more evolved that being is. That means the Neanderthals were more intelligent than we are today, more evolved. Yeah, they probably were. They did some incredible things. Brain surgery, all that kind of stuff. Wow. And according to science, our brain capacity is actually decreasing. We're on a downhill slide. They're concerned after a few thousand years we would have the brain of a Homo erectus. And brain size don't mean much anyway. It's the complexity of the brain. Just because you got a big brain doesn't mean you're more intelligent than someone who's got a small brain. Yes. Deals with the complexity. So the whole missing link thing is just variations of creatures that went extinct. You only find variations of monkeys, variations of lemurs, and so on. Then here's Lucy. Lucy's just a variation of a chimp. That's all she is. They have now debunked Lucy as a missing link. She's on a dead-end branch over here. Interesting. Yeah, I was teaching at the university in Colorado, and I was teaching there that evolution is not science, and there was a person who was not very happy when I said evolution is not science. And this guy stood up. He was a professor. And he says, oh, they're proving evolution to be science all the time. And I said, okay, give me some evidence. Oh, Lucy. I said, okay, give me some evidence that Lucy's a missing or evidence for evolution. He said, okay. So in a day or two, he brought this big stack of papers like this, giving evidence that Lucy's a missing link, that evolution is true and all that. So you know what I did? Took it, shoved it in my files. I wasn't going to waste my time. Because I knew, according to the Bible, there are no such thing as missing links. So all this information is worthless. Don't waste my time on reading worthless information. That's all wrong. 2 years later, I went back, taught to the same school, taught that evolution is not science. Same professor was there. And I looked at him and I said, do you know Lucy is no longer a missing link? She's on a dead-end branch over here, according to scientific research. You know what he said? That is absolutely true. All this information that he gave me was not science, was it? It was all false information. The Bible calls it deceitful science. That's all it was. Because I knew science was going to catch up with the Bible, and they're going to debunk it. Wow. How many people are deceived by deceitful science? Rejected the Bible because of Lucy as a missing link when that wasn't science at all. It was deceitful science. It's all vain imagination. Because basically the only thing they found of Lucy were the bones that are dark in color. Everything that you see that's white in color was put there for your viewing enjoyment only. They never found the white parts, just the dark parts. If you have the whole skeleton, that's only 1% of the information. They found 28% of a skeleton. So how much information did they find? 0.28% of the information. There's not enough information there to get anything. Evolution is not built on science. It's built on speculation of lack of information. See, there's not enough observable evidence in the fossil record to establish Lucy as a missing link. Scientists do not even have evidence if he or she thinks she might be a he now. It's not really a she. It's a he. Species left offspring. They may have just gone extinct like so many species today. Are you all with me here? No. I believe she went extinct during the flood. Those genes didn't get on board the ark, so we don't have those chimpanzees alive anymore. So according to scripture, when you read these, this is an old changer here. I left all my good stuff in India. Yes, I do. So I had to dig one of these up. This is my old wore out one, so I'm trying to, didn't have time to get a new one, so bear with me. It's just not changing very well. So when you read evolutionary books, there's one thing you always have to remember. Like if you see a picture like this, or if you sign a contract, what's one thing you always have to do? Read the fine or small print on the bottom of the page. Okay. So here we have this evolution of birds. We have the solid bars, and then we have all these dotted lines connect all these solid bars together. What do the solid bars mean, and what do all these dotted lines mean? Well, read the fine print. This is what it says. You read the fine print on the bottom of the page. The solid bars show the known fossil record of a group. So these are distinct kinds of birds. Known fossil record. What do the dotted lines mean? The dotted lines denote the possible evolutionary relationship between groups. Possible. That means all those dotted lines are put there for your viewing enjoyment only. They don't find any of the dotted lines. They find the distinct kinds of birds. And all the dotted lines are put there so you can believe in evolution, even though they don't find any evidence to support it. You grasp it? Any questions there? Here's another one. This one's on dinosaurs, the dinosaur family tree. Well, what do all these solid red lines mean? What does the white lines mean? Well, right down here, tinted areas indicate solid fossil evidence. So these are solid fossil evidence of different kinds of dinosaurs. What do the white parts mean? White parts, basically, white parts are no solid fossil evidence, just imagination. They just connect them all together with no evidence. Science deals with what? Observational evidence. If you don't have observational evidence, you don't have what? Science. Is evolution science? It's all speculation. They're speculating how this came about with no evidence to support it. Wow. Yes. So what we see, different kinds, just being fruitful, multiply, and changing to fit their environment. That's all we see in science. That's what the Bible proclaims 6,000 years ago. Yes. So, now, God created everything perfect, but after the fall of Adam, there would be a corruption of genetic information caused by mutations. We're going to talk about mutations. Very important to know. So we take a look at mutations. We see a deterioration and or loss of organs and other body parts over time. Because mutations are genetic mistakes. That means when a cell divides, when it duplicates the genes, it makes a mistake in its duplication. Which means it's a genetic mistake. It's not the right copy. Okay, we're going to take a look at mutations. Mutations cause gene depletion. What do I mean? Mutations cause a loss of genetic information. Because if those genes are not copied right, then they'll make a protein that does not work right. And if you get a protein that doesn't work right, you're going to have some problems. Many diseases are caused by mutations. Many birth defects are caused by mutations. Death. We're going to take a look at mutations. See, mutations, according to evolution, if you're going from an amoeba to evolve into a human being, you have to have an explosion of new genetic information. You have to have genes to make brains and skulls and bones and lungs and so on. Are you with me? Because the bacteria don't have any of that, so you have to have an explosion of genetic material. Well, one thing is you have to get some new genes so you can change, so you can evolve into humans. Well, where do those new genes come from? Well, duplication of information that's already there. Are you familiar with trisomies? If you're not familiar with trisomies is when two cells divide, one cell gets more genes than the other cell does. Like, we had a granddaughter that died from trisomy 18, which means instead of having two chromosomes, one from the mother, one from the father, on chromosome number 18, she got three. She died at birth, had a lot of defects. See, that's where we're supposed to get genes to mutate because we have to have these trisomies. But trisomies, we know, doesn't make things better. Down syndrome is, I think, trisomy 21, and then, is that correct? And then cleft palate is trisomy 13. Yes. And they don't make things better. So evolution has a problem right there. Where do they get the genes to mutate to come up with new information? Are you grasping this? Because trisomies are bad. Well, then those new genes have to mutate. So that means they get new information to make human beings. Because natural selection causes what? Reduction of genetic diversity. We talked about that. So to get things to change into something else, you have to get new genetic diversity through mutations. Well, we're going to take a look at mutations. This doesn't work. What do mutations cause? They cause a duplication of genetic information. They cause a loss of genetic information. They cause a deregulation of genetic information. They also causes cancer, aging. Much more. We're going to talk about that. We're going to take a look at some mutations. They've studied fruit flies. They bombarded them with radiation chemicals. They got thousands, about 80,000 or some mutations. They got fruit flies with curved wings. They got fruit flies with no wings. They even got fruit flies with two pairs of wings, but these fruit flies couldn't fly. The best fruit fly was the one that did not have any mutations. Thousands, tens of thousands of mutations, and the fruit fly didn't get better. It always got worse. Yes. But guess what they always got? Fruit flies. They never got anything else. They only got fruit flies. This is devastating to evolution. They were supposed to change into something else. If you get norm mutations, it should change into something else. What do they always get? Bad fruit flies. Yes. And they said right here is one thing, mutations are rare. You have a mechanism on your genetics that corrects mutations. It reads your genes when it duplicates and corrects them. If that mechanism breaks down, you come down with cancer and you die. Your body knows mutations are bad. So it's got a mechanism to try to undo mutations. Also, mutations are harmful. At best, they're neutral. Yes, so because they're always a law of loss of genetic information. But mutations, again, cause loss of genetic information. Losing genetic information is not good, is it? We're going to take a look at that. Here's a duplication of genetic information. Here we have a steer with five legs. He's got four on the ground, one on his back. Is that a better steer because he has five legs? Can he run faster with five legs? Well, for the rancher, he's got another chunk of beef to sell at market there. That's a beneficial mutation. But this leg doesn't do anything. It's totally useless. If it gets caught in a thicket or barbed wire fence, now he's got a bad mutation. Yes. Well, here's a creature that has an opposite problem. It has lost genetic information to make feathers. We didn't hold this rooster down and plucked all the feathers off of his body. This is the way he hatched. Now, is that a good mutation? Only for the poultry farmers that raise this chicken, because now they don't have to pluck it. They do. But if things, they have to have right conditions, otherwise the rooster will die. So it's a loss of genetic information. They call him TNR. Why do they call this rooster TNR? It stands for totally naked rooster. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Now, this bird has the opposite problem. This has a mutation where the feathers just keep growing. This is a deregulation mutation. Yes, here's the mutant feathers. They just keep growing. And these are the normal feathers. Now, is that a better bird because the feathers just keep growing? They don't stop growing? No. Not at all. Well, then we have blind cavefish. I was taught in college that blind cavefish is excellent evidence of evolution. Well, let's look at the blind cavefish. What happens is the blind cavefish lost the genetic information to make the lens of the eye. So when this fish is developing in the egg, it goes through stages of development. When it comes to the development of the eye, it's lost the genetic information to make the lens, and because the lens does not form, the whole eye development shuts down and scar tissue grows over the eye. But if you're in a cave where there's no light, do you need eyes? No. In this case, it's a beneficial mutation because now its eye is protected, because if it runs into a rock, it doesn't scratch its eye and get bacteria and die. Are you with me? Because they have a cousin to the blind cavefish that does have eyes. But this is not evidence of evolution. This is actually a loss of genetic information. This is evidence of devolution. He's losing genetic information. If you start losing too many body parts, what's going to happen to you? The eye, the head, the legs. That's not a good sign, right? Losing body parts through mutations is evidence of Adam's sin and the deterioration of what's going on. Everything was made perfect and we're deteriorating. And our species, our kind, is in danger. Do you know that? Every generation is having more and more mutations. So my children have more mutations than I had. My children, or my grandchildren, will have more mutations than they have. So we are actually headed to extinction unless somebody undoes the genetic deterioration. And according to research, the human race has not been on this planet that long. Otherwise, we'd be all dead through the destruction of our bodies through mutations. Yes, we're on the downhill slide. They know it. But they don't want you to know it. Yes. So we're going to have more and more diseases, more and more health problems as time goes on because of mutations. Yes, if you take this blind cavefish and you throw it in where this fish can't see the predators, doesn't know where to hide, so it's basically shark bait. But only in a cave does it have an advantage. I'm not against beneficial mutations, but mutations don't increase genetic information. It's always a loss of genetic information. Everybody grasp that? Yes. So when I start to say, well, as a farmer, our cattle or hogs once in a while have mutations, and it was always harmful. Basically, they died. So it didn't take me long to reject evolution because science doesn't support evolution. What do mutations cause? It causes birth defects, cancer, diseases, death, aging, etc. Yes, that's what it did. And much more. Now, genetic entropy. This is written by Dr. J.C. Sanford. He did studies on the genome, the human genome, and what he's discovered. The primary axiom of Darwinian evolution is evolution proceeds by random mutations and natural selection. Natural selection picks out the good mutations, so we evolve into something else. Well, through his studies, mutational entropy, that means mutational disorder. That's what mutations do. They cause disorder. It appears to be so strong within large genomes that selection cannot reverse it. What does that mean? Humankind is going headed for destruction because natural selection can't weed out the bad mutations. They can't weed them out as fast as we're having mutations. Yes. So he goes on, mutation selection cannot even stop the loss of genetic information, let alone create the genome. The question is, how did this information get there in the first place? Mutations cause a loss. They don't cause increase in genetic information. So as they go on, natural selection can only slow down the deterioration of the genetic information. It can neither stop it nor create the genome. You can only slow down the deterioration. So it should be very clear that our genome could not have arisen spontaneously. That means that we couldn't have evolved. There's no way. The only reasonable alternative to a spontaneous genome is a design genome. That means somebody designed the human genome because it couldn't come by evolution and mutations. So that the primary axiom is wrong, then our basic understanding of life history is also wrong. If the genome is degenerating, our species is not evolving, but what? Devolving. Genetic damage results in aging, and aging shortens lifespans. Yeah. So over time, are things going to get better? No, over time, things are going to get worse. Time is no friend to evolution. It's an enemy. Before the flood, man lived to be roughly 900 years old. Then the flood came, that water canopy collapsed, huge increase of mutations, and guess what happened to people? We age faster because of mutations. And they know that. So let's see here. I skipped this one. This thing is not working right. These two mice are the same age. But this mouse is aging faster than that mouse. And the reason why is this mouse has more mutations than this one here. So what happens is, now what's happening is, because of the increase in mutations, children are going into puberty at a younger and younger age. And the reason why is our bodies go into defense mode. They know we're deteriorating. So they go into a younger age of going into maturity, so that means they can reproduce before they die. Isn't that interesting? And that is not good. According to scientific research, it is not good for children to go into puberty at a very young age. It's not good. So our kind, because of mutations, we're headed to extinction. We're getting worse. Unless we can do something about it, or else somebody returns and makes everything good again. Isn't that interesting? Yes. Which totally goes against evolution. We're not getting better. We're literally genetically falling apart. And what aging does, mutations do, it causes people or children to go into puberty at a younger age. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people, children, go into puberty at a younger and younger age, which is not good. Yes. Because when I was in school, I knew of some boys, they didn't come into puberty until after they left high school. It wasn't until they got into college. Interesting. Yeah. So, again, that fits perfectly with the Bible. We're aging faster and so on, which is not good. So we take a look at this. Mutations, evidence of evolution, is devastating for evolution. Every time we look at science, it is devastating against evolution. Every step. Now we're going to take a look at any questions so far. We're going to take a look at a species. There's a confusion about a species. Actually, we don't know for sure what a species really is. But I'm going to try to explain it. Now, evolution can be defined as a change in species over time. Well, what's a species? A species is a group of organisms that share similar characteristics and that can interbreed with one another and produce fertile offspring. Well, we take a look at this. Now, change in species over time is not Darwinian evolution. A lot of people confuse change in species as Darwinian evolution. No, change in species is just being fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. That's biblical. That's micro. Darwinian evolution is change in a kind. When finches no longer become finches, that's evolution. Are you all with me? You got that? I want to make sure you grasp this. They change us. Change in species is evolution. It is not Darwinian evolution. It's microevolution. See, change in kind or family type over time is macroevolution. That's Darwinian evolution. Dogs change into something that is no longer a dog. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth is change in species over time. We're confusing biblical scientific information with Darwinian philosophy. Dogs stay dogs, but they change a little to fit their environment. That's what we see. This is biblical and scientific. This is variation or speciation within a kind. This is microevolution. So we're going to take a look at a species. What is it? Now, we're going to start again with dogs. Here we have the wolf and the domestic dog. The domestic dog is a subspecies of the wolf. And they have now discovered that coyotes can cross with dogs. Coyotes can cross with wolves, wolves can cross with dogs, jackals can cross with domestic dogs, and so on. And guess what they always get? Dogs. Yes, we got big dogs and little dogs. Now, I used to farm, did breeding. I see some problems. Can these two dogs reproduce with one another? I don't think so. Actually, they have problems in the reproduction. We're pushing the limits of the dog kind. They're so far at the opposite ends of the dog kind that they can't reproduce anymore. They've got problems. But you get reproduce this one with other dogs, smaller dogs, you reproduce this one with larger dogs, and pretty soon you can cross the two. Yes. But they always stay what? They always stay dogs. Yes. This is the DNA coat barrier. Things do not evolve into something else. They always stay within that kind. Yeah. Now we've got, here's a dog classification. In the scientific classification, we don't have kind written in there, do we? So how does the Bible, concept of kind fit in with the classification? Well, it probably fits in with the family or genus. So when we're talking about a kind, we're talking family group or the genus group. Depends on how they categorize the creatures. So we have the dog family. Yes. Now, we've got all kinds of dogs. We've got wolves. We've got coyotes. We've got foxes. We've got jackals. We've got dingoes. This is a dog. It's not a raccoon. Looks like a raccoon, but it's not. It's a dog. We got the African dogs, and we got domestic dogs. And there's good old Abby right there. Yes. But they're still all what? Dogs. See, Arctic foxes, through natural selection weeded out the dog genes that don't work up in the Arctic. So natural selection only kept the dog genes that work well in the Arctic. So you got Arctic foxes. So if you reproduce an Arctic fox with an Arctic fox, guess what you're going to get? Yeah. Through natural selection, made purebreds. They're less likely to change. They won't change in anything other than Arctic foxes unless you start breeding them with other dogs. Natural selection is not evidence of evolution. Natural selection is the opposite of Darwinian evolution. Makes them less likely to change. Yes. But they're still all dogs. This is called gene depletion. The Arctic foxes lost the dog genes to become a coyote. But if you take a Chihuahua and throw him in the Arctic, we'll survive in the Arctic. No, he's got the wrong dog genes. He's good for catching rats down in holes. Yes. And then you have rabbits. Rabbits were very obedient to God to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. We got rabbits with short ears. We got rabbits with long ears. We got rabbits with middle-sized ears. We got rabbits with floppy ears and hairy ears and all kinds of ears. Yes, but they're still all what? Rabbits. Yeah. Then we have horses. Yes, they have now crossed a zebra with a donkey and got a zonkey. They've crossed the zebra with a horse and got a horse. Now, they're infertile, but that doesn't mean they're not in the same kind. Because there's a problem with the genetics. Yes. I know of some people who can't have children. Does that mean they're two different kinds, so they can't have children? No. There are genetic issues here. Yes, they have mules. A mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. And most mules are sterile, but now they've discovered a few mules are fertile. It's very rare, but there are a few. Yes. So this is from a Spanish science book. They understand God did not make zebras, donkeys, and the domestic horse. He made the horse kind, and through separating out the genes, you get zebras, donkeys, and horses, domestic horses. Yes. Now, but they're still a horse. Now they've also crossed a false killer whale, that's the father, and a dolphin, and they got a wolfin. And this wolfin is fertile. It can have offspring. So the porpoise and the dolphin and the whales are probably all in the same kind. All they did was be fruitful, multiply, and fill the oceans. No, so that's what the Bible told them to do, and that's what they did. Now we have the cattle. They've crossed a bison with domestic cattle. Here are the crosses. Now it took them about 15 years of crossing bison with domestic cattle to get a fertile offspring. So we're pushing the limits of the cattle kind. Once they got a fertile offspring, they could either breed it to the domestic side or the bison side. Didn't have as many problems then. Yes. So here's another one. This one's closer to the bison side, but you can see a little bit of Holstein or Charolais in it. I don't know what they crossed them. And then they crossed a yak with a bison. There's a yakalope. And they crossed domestic cattle with a yak. So the musk ox and the yak and the water buffalo and the bison and the domestic cattle are all in the same kind. Yes. Then that brings us to the cat kind. They crossed a jaguar with a lion and got a jagalon. They've crossed a leopard with a lion and got a leopon. Here's the crosses on the top here. And they've crossed bobcat lynx. Here's the crosses right here. They've also crossed the lion with the tiger, and they got ligers. Now here's a tigon. It's another cross between a lion and a tiger, but it's not a good cross. They don't do very well. The ligers do pretty good. They don't stop growing. They just keep growing throughout their lifetime, so they get pretty good size. Yes. And they've crossed the domestic cat with the wildcat. Here's the cross. So God did not make lions and tigers and leopards and jaguars. He made the cat kind through separating out the genes. Through natural selection, you get tigers and so on. Tigers are just adapted to the jungles, lions the savannas. Yes. And then we have the llama and the camel. They crossed a llama with a camel and got a comma, and they called the comma Rama. Yes. Interesting. But it's all in the camel llama kind. Yes. This is in the Denver Museum of Natural History. Because bacteria reproduce rapidly, many mutations can appear in a short time period of time, so bacteria evolve very quickly. The question is, what do bacteria change into? You know what bacteria change into? Bacteria. Bacteria is still bacteria. They never change into anything else. There is not one scrap of Darwinian evolution there at all. Bacteria always stay. They've been studying bacteria for decades. They always stay bacteria. We find bacteria in a fossil record. We can identify it as bacteria alive today. So we take a look at evolution. We have never observed evolution because bacteria always stay. All bacteria do is be fruitful, multiply, and fill the environment. That's all they do. They never do anything else. We have never observed Darwinian evolution. Since we have never observed it, why do so many people believe in it? That's another topic when we get to the source. Viruses. Rhinoviruses have RNA. They don't have DNA. Rhinoviruses mutate faster than any organism on this planet. But rhinoviruses always stay what? Rhinoviruses. They're not even counted as living creatures because they can't reproduce without a host. So all they do is change the outside coat. That's all they do. No new body parts, no new anything. That's why you have to make new antibodies because the outside coat of viruses change, so you have to have a new antibody to destroy that type of strain of virus. Yes, but they never change in anything else. And genetics are interesting. Creatures have genes they can turn on and off, like stick insects. They have genes where they can turn on and produce wings. If the environment changed, those genes will shut off and the next generation won't produce wings. And then if the environment changes, they need wings, the genes will turn back on and they'll produce wings. Any new body parts? No. Any new genes? No. They're just shutting in genes on and off. We can do the same thing. Depends on the environment. We can turn genes on and off. That way you can adapt to different environments. We take a look at Genesis. God programmed everything to reproduce after their kind. Goes on after his kind, after their kind, after his kind. And God's always very good. And when we take a look at this, but they do change to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So they do change to different environments, but they always reproduce after their own kind. And that brings us to the finches. This is where Darwin used the finches to start his theory of evolution. He went to Galapagos Islands and he saw finches with beaks, finches with middle-sized beaks. So since the beak size changed, he thought, well, if they could change a little bit over a short time, over a lot of time, they could change into something else. Well, I look around the room. I see some people with big beaks. I see some people with little beaks. Does that mean those of us who have bigger noses are more evolved than those who have smaller noses? I guess so. there's no evidence of evolution here at all. It's just different sized beaks, but they're still all what? Finches. All they did was be fruitful, multiply, and fill Galapagos Islands. That's all they did. The small changes scientists observe will never bring about the big changes needed for macroevolution. Never. So Darwin made a big mistake. So we take a look at this. There are about 14 different species on the island. They believe to evolve from a single species that flew to the island. Well, finches flew to the island, and guess what they still have there? Finches. They didn't change into anything else. They'd just be fruitful, multiply, and fill Galapagos Islands. Because they don't understand the science of Genesis, they made a big mistake. Huge mistake. They adapted. Yeah, the Bible says that. But comparative anatomy, so what? That isn't evidence of evolution. So all these finches, all they did, they can reproduce with one another. So they're all in the same species. They're not different. They're not even different species. They're all the same species in the same kind. They just adapted to different food sources and different environments by changing beaks. They even have different genus names. But they all can reproduce. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Whole thing was a scientific blunder. Yes. Where do they go wrong? How can they make such a big mistake? It's their thinking process. I'm going to demonstrate their false thinking process. This is in Denver Post. Yes. Lizard test in Caribbean shows evolution can be fast. Okay, I'll explain what happened. There's about 14 islands they were using or doing research on in the Caribbean. There were no lizards on these islands. So they took some lizards and they put on these islands, and then they left for about 5 years, and then they came back, and they came to the island, and the lizards changed a little bit. Some had a little longer legs, some had a little longer tails, some had short tails, some had short legs. But they were still all what? Lizards. But since they changed, that's evidence of evolution. It's right in this square right here. Okay. Understanding biology is whether the small evolutionary changes sometimes noticed within a species, that is observational, that's biblical microevolution, are the same as the giant shifts in the kaleidoscope of species that takes place over millions of years. Or in biologist terms, whether micro is the same as macro. Is micro the same as macro? No. Completely two different things. Millions of years. Well, when you take a look at millions of years, this is non-observational, is it? Can you observe things taking millions of years? No. So they're totally speculating that these creatures will change into something else. No scientific evidence at all. Yes. So in other words, micro plus millions of years equals macro. They believe it is a blind religion. Evolution is totally a blind religion. They're mixing macro with micro. Micro is biblical and scientific. Macro is all speculation and false. That's where they go wrong. Totally wrong. They don't know the difference between the two. Yes. Charles Darwin did not disprove the Bible. Did you know that? He confirmed the scientific information revealed in the Bible. All finches did was what the Bible says in Genesis 1. They just filled Galapagos Islands. You know what he disproved? People don't realize this. Charles Darwin disproved the pseudoscience of the Greek philosophers. What? See, and the theologian compromisers that compromised Scripture with the Greek philosophers. Some of the Greek philosophers taught the immutability of species, which means species do not change. I already talked about that in Sunday school. I didn't think I was going to get this far this morning. See, some of the Greek philosophers taught that species do not change. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. The Bible says species will change. Kinds will not. Are you grasping this? It's very important. So, in Charles Darwin's day, if you want to be scientific, if you want to be a person in the know, you believe what the Greek philosophers taught. Well, the Greek philosophers were very anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-Christianity. They taught evolution. And they taught some really strange stuff. So what they did is, if you want to be scientific, you take what the Greek philosophers taught and you add it to Scripture. So they start changing Scripture, and Charles Darwin was taught in theology classes that species do not change. When he went to Galapagos Islands, guess what he discovered? Species do change. That means the Bible's false. No, that's not what the Bible taught at all. He just disproved the Greek philosophers and the theologian compromisers. That's why it's so important not to compromise the Bible with evolution, because evolution is always going to be what? Disprove it. So every time evolution changes, guess what you have to do to your interpretation of the Bible? Change it. I blame the church for Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. If it was the church's fault, if the church was teaching true science out of Genesis chapter 1, Darwin wanted to come up with a big mistake that he made. Because he would have known what he would have saw in Galapagos Islands. Oh, they're just being fruitful, multiplying, filling Galapagos Islands. Are you all with me? The church is making the same mistake that the church made back in Darwin's day, adding evolution to the Bible. It's going to turn out to be a disaster. And it is. It's going to destroy the church. And it's the same tactic that Satan used in Genesis chapter 3 on the woman. The same tactic here is what Satan used on the woman. Satan's tactics do not change. No. So, what we have here is some small changes the scientists observed were predicted in Genesis thousands of years ago. It's sad when the theologians don't teach the science of the Bible. It really is sad. So genetics was already taught in Genesis 1, but also genetics was taught in chapters 30 and 31. Are you familiar with Jacob's wages for raising Laban's sheep? When I was studying Jacob and what he was doing, I was amazed. He understood genetics. This guy was brilliant in genetics. I mean, he's thousands of years ahead of his time. This guy, he understood dominant and recessive genes. He understood hybrids and purebreds. When I read that, what he was doing was very similar to what I was doing on the farm. This guy was 4,000 years ahead of his time. Before we modern scientists ever discovered genetics, he was already working with it. I was always taught that Gregor Mendel is the father of modern genetics. That is not true. If anybody's the father of modern genetics, it's Jacob, because he understood a lot more than what Gregor Mendel understood. Wow. That was in Scripture 4,000 years ago. What should scientists be doing? Studying their Bibles. Because we don't study our Bibles, we're thousands of years behind the time. Yeah. Animals, again, do not change, but they do reproduce after their kind. Even in the fossil record, we don't see change. This is a fossil. Stromatolites. What are stromatolites? Fossilized algae. Here's living stromatolites in Australia. And guess what they are? Stromatolites. Stromatolites have always been what? Stromatolites. Hundreds of millions of years, no change. Is that a problem for evolution? Yeah. Horseshoe crabs. Hundreds of millions of years in the fossil record. Horseshoe crabs today look just like the horseshoe crabs in the fossil record. No change. Bat fossil. Oh no, this is a bat fossil here. This one's supposed to be 50 million years old, but how can they tell it's a bat fossil? Because it looks like a bat. Here's a wasp fossil. Looks like the wasp we have today. When they find a horse fossil, how can you tell it's a horse fossil? Looks like a horse. If they find an elephant fossil, it looks like an elephant. When they find a monkey fossil, how can you tell it's a monkey? Because it looks like a monkey. They just find variations within the kind. The fossil record actually rejects evolution. There's no evidence of evolution. The fossil record, there's no evidence of evolution today. So why do so many people believe in something they can't see? Well, that's another topic. Fossilized shell, same ones like we have today. Plants, fossilized, just like the ones we have today. Things don't change. Yes, again, everything reproduces after their own kind. This is scientifically true. In Scripture, 6,000 years before scientists discovered it. In Malachi, God says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God is always God. He doesn't evolve into something else, does he? It's a good thing. Neither does his creation. Man is always man, monkeys are always monkeys, and so on. They don't change into something else. Just as God doesn't evolve into something else, neither does his creation. Yes. Now, we're going to take a look at dinosaurs. And I am kind of out of time. Yes. So, dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time that we can be together. I thank you for the scientific information that you put into your creation. Because Christianity is not a blind religion. It's a reasonable one. It's a scientific one. It's one that we can see when we look at creation. We know that you're the creator, which is Romans 1:20. Through studying nature, we know you exist. And through studying your word, we know and we can have a close relationship with you through Jesus Christ, your son. So, Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us here have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if we haven't trusted Christ as our Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And again, Father, it's an honor to be here amongst the saints here, to give them an encouragement and the fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.